Oh, come, all ye faithful. It's pretty self-explanatory. We've had the beginning of it unpacked in a couple of ways. Odie shared with the cry of, you know, like, let's adore him. And these two gentlemen just said, it is a rallying song. And you know what? It is. And I think I want to keep this pretty straightforward. In our purposes, in our times today, when we collectively come together as a body of believers, we bring value to a faith that we are declaring. We bring a hope. We bring a context. We bring ourselves into his presence to worship. That's us collectively as a group. I heard the singing. Maybe I was the buffer in the front row. We couldn't hear the audience here. But I was hearing the voices. And that is telling me there's nothing that blesses my heart more and worship team when we hear everyone singing how God has you to sing and engaged and in enjoying and saying, oh, come, let us adore him. So collectively, there is the huge rally cry. It's a declaration we make. And it's an expectation, obviously, in these day and age that this is one of the songs we will sing during this season. But we don't have to leave it to this season. Because life doesn't just happen in this season in terms of our lives. But as we focus on knowing that Jesus was born at this time, that we celebrate this, gives us more clarity. And so singularly, each and every one of us can have this moment of who is Jesus to me in my circumstance now? Is my life issue something that I am going to be able to say, Susan, come and adore me? Can I get past the things that are going on for me to come in and say, oh, come, Susan, adore him? And singularly, we often get defeated because life is life. It's just what it is. And this is why it's so amazing, the fact that he came to be born of a babe, to grow into the man of mission that he became, leading people to the Father. And we have that wonderful, joyful, amazing responsibility. If you can put joyful and responsibility together in the same sentence, sometimes toddlers go, I'm not doing the dishes. That doesn't make me joyful. This has got nothing to do with that. It's got everything to do with the fact of who Jesus Christ is in your life and that you joyfully get to proclaim it in obedience to others. And in that, yes, we will see prodigals come back to Jesus. We will see family squabbles resolved. We will see people's financial situations be restored. We will see miracles happen. And in today's day and age, as we've been hearing, we need more miracles. We need more of Jesus in everything we see and do and say in this world. And it's going to be exactly what it's going to look exactly like how God leads you to do what he has asked you to do. So if it's our hand extended to feed someone, if it's our heart to pray for someone, if it's up to us to obey and say, oh, that person in the coffee shop, I have no idea who it is, but God told me to say hi and see if they need anything and I can pray. It's going to be that. Those types of things can be the miracle. Because it's going to be where Jesus in you becomes bigger than you. Jesus in you can become bigger than you because he can bring you out of your comfort zone. He can bring you into places you never thought you would say his name. He can release you from things you never thought would ever be removed from you. That's because we need to step out in a life full of faith in the fact. See, it's interesting. Faith and fact are two different things. We often function in fact because we know we can speak. We know we can play the piano or the flute. We know we can write cards to people. We know we can take care of foster kids. We know we can do these things because we're doing them. Those are facts. But faith in Christ changes our fact to purpose for Him. It brings about the ability to say, I know what I'm able to do. Now, God, you do more through me. I wish to be used by you for more than just what I know. Now, I'm going to get to that in a couple of minutes because we sometimes limit ourselves a bit. But when we've accepted Jesus in our hearts and we're living for Him and we've asked Him to forgive us and we're growing in Him, that is part of the O come all. O come all. That's every one of us. And honestly, it's even for those who don't know Him, but He is calling them. And we can pray that for people. We can pray for people who don't know Jesus. Sometimes folks just even wander into places, not realizing that this is a moment God has for them. They just know they needed to be here. And I'm not picking on anybody. I'm not whatever. I'm honestly, for me, the biggest struggle this week was trying to find something deep and theological and meaty and weighty about, oh, come, let us adore Him. It's kind of a Captain Obvious statement right there. It's just like, when He's saying, oh, come, let us adore Him, it's a call. These pencils are up here. They're great. I'm going to move them, though. I'm going to be playing with them. There's that. So then we come to the word faithful. And we started hearing about the word faithful. And it's not faithful as in your dog is faithful to lick your face every time you come home. It's not like that, what's that geyser in the States they call Old Faithful? And it spouts off very faithfully at the same time of the day. It's not like our tides that you can measure by a calendar and they're faithful to handle the calendar. It's not that kind of faithful. It's being full of faith. And this is a work God does in us. As we give Him all of ourselves, as we yield all of us to Him, His work in us is a faith that we are not able to manufacture ourselves. We need Him to be our faith. He is the author and perfecter of our faith. Hebrews 12 and 2 says that. Romans 10 and 17 says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of Christ in the ESV, the word of God. We have many things available to us to grow our faith, to perfect our faith. That which was authored in us because of us accepting Jesus into our lives. We have lots. Yesterday, our ladies' session, we had almost 40 ladies here for breakfast, and our speaker gave us some amazing tools with which to speak Jesus into various situations in our lives. Those situations when you do not know what the answer is, you have tried everything, you're perplexed, why? And she gave us some amazing, interesting examples of, you know, if your child's not sleeping in their bedroom, maybe you need to pray in their, that their room is a place where God resides. So these tools came about. And when we line that up with His word for that moment, and He is always faithful to give us a verse for the time we need it. And as we continue to study and become fixated on Him to the point of giving Him everything about us in a situation, even the situations that we want to control, but we feel like there is no control. Even those moments of we have no understanding of why this is happening in our lives, God knows. Even the tough stuff, the perplexing stuff, all of those things, they happen in our lives. Isaiah 43:2-3 says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Those moments when no one or nothing else will be able to rescue, solve, restore anything, God can. And do you know why we know he's faithful? Because he keeps his promises. Every one of them. There is not a promise that God has made in his word that he has not ever kept. And sometimes we just need to continue to declare it over whatever the situation is in our life, to continue to build our faith, because his word in us will continue to build that faith. And sometimes we just need to not jokingly put it on repeat, but sometimes we need to hear it again and again and again and again and again. And there will be that moment, that one moment that it suddenly goes, God did it. God has released me. God has restored. God has brought Matthew to a place of completing something we thought he would never do. God has the ability to take care of our prodigals. He has the ability to take care of our financial situations, of our health, physical, mental health. He can restore and rejuvenate and renew any of those things in his time by his word. So as we are helped to become more faithful, Jesus can also help us to become more joyful. The author of part of this outline, Sam Roberts, writes, happiness comes from happenings, but joy comes from Jesus. Christmas morning or Christmas Eve morning, whenever you're, when are your kids the most happy? They're happening on presents, right? Or they're happy to be with people or whatever. Those are great moments. We are to have them. It's part of how we who we are and how we function in our world and how we live in our families. And we need to be pouring into those memories. And that's fine. But true joy comes even when there aren't happenings of happiness. True joy is the face that says, my God is very real, but my life is awful right now. I don't like the circumstances I'm in. I don't like the thinking I'm doing. I don't like what life is at the moment. But Jesus is still my joy. And that joy, what's the kids' chorus? The joy of the Lord is my strength. Yeah. The joy of the Lord is our strength. It is a fruit of the Spirit. This is a product that we can't forcefully grow in ourselves. An apple doesn't just pop because somebody says, oh, it's an apple tree. There is a process. There is a growing. There is a peeling open of the seed. There is a time that it's underground before it can do anything. But from that one seed comes all the makings of a life of the little sprout. Do they call it apple tree saplings? I'm not an arborist, so sorry about that. But the small tree comes, and then it's nurtured and protected. And then it grows, but it still takes time before it comes to maturity to produce another apple. One of my favorite stories as a kid, and I don't know if it was popular right here, I imagine it was, but the whole story of Johnny Appleseed. Ah, people laughing remember this. They know this one too. And it was about a gentleman who traveled around pioneering and cutting trees and all that stuff, but he always planted apple seeds wherever he went so as to continue producing. And that is something in the spiritual realm. When we have the seed of God's word in our heart, we know that he lives in us. We may not feel him at that moment, but we know, because we can declare that we know we are serving Jesus. We may not have a moment of the full feeling of, oh, this is amazing, I love God, God loves me, we're cool. It's not necessarily that all the time, but this is where we have to trust our faith and not a feeling. We need to trust our faith and not a fact of our ability. There are moments in our lives we are not going to be able to muscle through, conjure up, figure out. No wit or genius or anything is going to fix something, but our faith, that seed of his word in our lives, will produce something perhaps we never even anticipated it would do. The answer may come in a way we never even thought it would happen. So when I pray for my prodigals, I pray for someone to be in their life, to be Jesus to them for when I'm not there, and that they will know that the seed of stuff they had growing up will be something that gets enriched and starts to sprout and starts to grow and starts to return back to fruit that it was intended to produce. So while fruit and joy and love are part of the fruit of the Spirit, they come about because of a right relationship with God. We don't create this on our own efforts. Can't fake true joy. We got a lot of happiness we can do. We got a lot of laughter and amazing times. But that joy that sustains you when nothing else is around, that's what God does in us. Luke 2 and 10 says, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you.' His birth was announced as a causing of great joy for all people." So I'm of the opinion, if I'm taking this at face value, this is a fruit of the Spirit. It's for all of us. But it's for everybody. It's for the people pumping gas right now over at the gas station. It's for the people driving fast to try to get to Barry because they have to make it on time. It's for the people who are in seniors' homes and they're just kind of like, life is. This great joy, the purpose of it was to be for all people. I'm blessed that we have those we have who have stepped into this faith relationship with God. They've stepped into this purposeful life of living by faith and allowing God to produce joy in our lives. I am thankful for that. And now we get to go and be the maybe guardians of seed, waterers of the seed of the word, encouragers. Maybe we get to bring an awareness. Did you know that Jesus loves you? We had a friend, I think it was Chuck Price, would often, his favorite restaurant in Canada when he was home is Tim Hortons. But it wasn't because of the food. But if you see the size and the height of the gentleman in his heyday, you'd know it was food as well too. But his favorite place was Tim Hortons. And his favorite spot to sit in Tim Hortons was right in the middle of the store and facing the people. He did not face windows so he could look out and ignore people. He faced people. And he watched. And he said this every time he went into Tim's. Besides his coffee order, he said, "And Jesus, bring me someone today. Show me someone in here who needs me to pray for them." every time. Every time. Now, Chuck has been an evangelist for years. Ralph went to Bible college with him, and actually Chuck has just retired. So our field of evangelism has gone down to what? In our denomination? Zero at the moment. So, guess what? We get to go to Tim Hortons and look at people and watch how they're sitting. You know when you sit somewhere and someone looks distressed? Well, there's a fancy term for that. It's called paraverbal communication. Dr. Trevor's enjoying this one. There's something about us as humans that while my words may come out, my face might show the whole truth of my opinion. They said, oh, they said that, did they? You know, and we do that, and it's called paraverbal communication. So it's not a special super-duper trick to figure out that people in a restaurant or riding on the bus with you or walking down the street with you or at a meeting you're at, that they're going through some stuff. It's not a super, you know, there's some different groups that like to say, well, we teach you how to do this. It's just like, this is not a special thing. It's not hard to read people in a community where for us it can become the challenge is obeying God's voice and speaking him to them in that moment. Because it's easy to sit there and say, oh, that lady over there, she doesn't like her whipped cream. She's spitting in it. I'm just going to pray over here quietly. She won't notice. God will equip. God will bring you away from you, but not because he's trying to get you to do weird things. He's trying to have us obey him, so that we become conductors, people of joy, and bringing Jesus to other people. Because honestly, we got the joy of Jesus, it should be busting out of our skins. It should be showing up on these. We should be able to see it in our mirrors. And if you're not seeing it in your mirror, you need a new mirror. Or just don't look in that mirror anymore and get out there for what Jesus has for you. Because this fruit of the Spirit has far more capacity to do God's work than any of our efforts. And joy is a result of being in right relationship with Jesus. Now, it supersedes our current circumstances. And those circumstances may not always be joyful. We may have seasons of things we're going through, but the joy of Jesus will walk with us through it to that moment of this work is done. This person is restored. That person's back in the fold. That person is healed. This person is released from bondage. You, and I'm going to make an interesting statement here, if you don't have joy in your life, maybe we haven't given him everything we were supposed to. I heard that. And the reason I heard it, because it's in me too. Because we will have moments. It's hard to give everything to Jesus. It's easier to hang on to the crud. It's easy to hang on to the feelings of, oh, that person did me wrong and I'm just not ever going to. It's easy to hang on to that because it's what we feel, it's what we know. But our feelings are not an indicator of the presence of Jesus. They're an indicator of feelings. They're an indicator of pain, of things that need Jesus to come and do stuff for you. I don't know too many people who willingly put up with ongoing pain in their lives and then not look for a solution. To me, that's kind of bizarre. Are people sometimes physically in chronic pain because of conditions and all that? Yes, I know that. I'm not speaking tritely to the situations. I am not speaking tritely to people who deal with trauma or PTSD or other related issues. I am not speaking tritely about any of that. But I am speaking declaratively that the joy that Jesus gives us can bring about everything each of us needs in any of those circumstances in our lives. And yes, he heals. Yes, he restores. Yes, he releases. But we have to give him everything. We have to, Colleen's going to jump at this one. We got to let it go. It was part of a sermon a couple of weeks ago. We have to let it go. We have to know in our hearts and in our minds that our faith in God is enough to handle any of the things we're going through. Anything. And the joy he gives us will help us walk through those things until they are at the point of completion. And then perhaps we can speak like Odie and I are today. God did the work. We are full of joy in this moment, but it's that joy that carried through to this moment as well. So Jesus can help us to be more joyful. Jesus helps us become more triumphant. The whole first line of the carol, "Oh come, let us adore him, joyful and triumphant." Honestly, walking on the victory side of events is amazing. Getting to the victory side of events, not always so amazing. But that's why we're to be full of faith. Those steps are why we are to be full of joy. Those steps to get to the victory side are why we are to be full of his word. That we can hear his voice in those moments where the steps are just painful, terrifying, discouraging, back in the same old thing again. Faith from our Father, joy in Jesus, will produce the triumph over the situations. Ralph had read the scripture at the beginning, or just before he did the Advent, Isaiah 9, 6 through 7. And here's a summary of that. "Even as the infant babe rested in the manger, he is and was the King of Kings." He is our Lord of Lords. He is our Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Nothing comes into being without him speaking it into existence. He is the chosen one to save us from sin. He is the author and perfecter of our faith. He is the Prince of Peace, the Bread of Light, the Light of the World, the Savior and Lifter of our head. He was born the King of Angels, and we do come to adore him because he is Christ the Lord. I pray that at this moment, whatever is sitting in your heart that is keeping you from being full of joy and full of faith, that maybe, Oti, could I ask you to come back to the piano and just play "Oh Come Let Us Adore Him" for us, please? In this moment, whatever your need, whatever your heart cry, whatever thing is an issue in your life that is keeping you from knowing the faith you can have in him, that is keeping you from feeling the joy that he has for you, even at the very least, and there's a musical term for how the chorus goes, because the first line is very quiet, and then it builds, and then it builds. If all you can do right now is whisper, "I come and adore you." If that is all you can do is just whisper, even speaking it in just your heart, because you haven't given something to Jesus, but he's asking you to right now. "Oh, come, let us adore him." And keep saying it until you know that you've meant it. Till you know it in the depth of your heart that you are feeling him do something in you. You are having word from the scriptures confirmed to you. Because you know what? The next time you say it, you should be able to be a little louder. Oh, come, let us adore him. Keep giving him the glory. Keep adoring him. There's a reason the musicians went out in front of the battle around the walls of Jericho. It was to prepare our hearts to see what God will do. When we are obedient, we need to adore him. We need to speak worship to him who created, to him who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that is far and above anything that's going on in our lives. I would love to be able to say, I'm standing here in front of you with no issues. Here comes my honest face. And I know every one of us would love to, and some of us try to show me the face that everything's cool, Pastor Sue, no problems in my life. And I'm happy for you if that's really, truly the case. So I'm not saying I don't believe you. I'm saying is we go through stuff. And maybe what we need to do is the stuff that's keeping us from a life full of faith, the stuff that's keeping us from a life full of joy, give it to Jesus. Right now. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore Christ the Lord. I'm gonna talk. Give him that problem. Give him that family member. Give him that financial situation. Give him that lack of faith. Let him be so real to you right now, it's hurting to stay seated and not adore him. Give it to him. He can do far more with your adoration in your life because his purpose is to heal you, to restore you, to renew you. So that when you behold him, you will be able to say, we'll give him all the glory, Christ the Lord. Father, you are so amazing. You are so amazing. Someone asked God before service, was I okay today? And I said, I'm ready, yes. And I'm ready, no. Yes, I'm read up and I've researched and I've done that. But no, I don't know what God's going to do at this moment. Father, there are things that we need to lay before you. There are thoughts, there are words, there are people, there are things that have happened that we need to give to you. Because us holding on to them is keeping us from knowing your faith and your joy in our lives. We're kind of wandering. We're kind of feeling bruised and hurt. We're kind of feeling left out. We're kind of feeling like we're just kind of on our own. But a life in you, a life in you when we've asked you into our hearts, a life in you of faith, and we're going to claim your word for healing. We're going to claim your word for restoration. We're going to claim your word for renewal. We're going to claim your word for people who need to know you. We're going to claim your word for our families, for our church, for our community, for our schools, for our jobs, for our island, for our country, for our nation, for the world. God, we stand for you. We stand for you because you are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are the creator of all. Nothing happens. Nothing is created but you spoke it into existence. Father, We need to come and adore you. Perhaps in closing, we can sing the first verse and then the chorus again. Oh, come, all ye faith. Come, all ye faith.